don't call in. Now, I don't think that I said that to anybody, and I don't think I called Ms. Kennedy, honey. I think that's their idea of you all and come in, C-O-M-I-N, and this stuff they write about Texas. Now, Norma Milligan says that she's been working on it up there. And she says that she's from Oklahoma, and she thinks she understands Texans better. So she's been talking to some people on our staff there. I don't know who. Chuck Roberts has been talking to some. I don't know who. But, well, these are not the facts as I remember them. And my feeling on the Manchester book is the best thing we can do is I do not believe that we are equipped by experience, by tradition, by personality, or financially to cope with this. I just do not believe we know how to handle public relations and how to handle advertising agencies and how to handle manuscripts, and how to handle book writers. And then I don't believe that we are, I just don't think we are equipped for it. So I think they're going to write history as they want it written and as they can buy it written. And I think the best way we can write it is to try to refrain from getting in an argument or a fight or a knockdown and go on and do our job every day as best we can if I've just got to Marie doing it with me. And I do that. I stay all every hour. And it damn near causes you divorces and it almost causes you troubles. And we've got everybody calling around on different things and gossip pouring in and pipelines of it because everybody likes to show that they're close to the president. And I said to someone the other day that I don't know of but four people that have left me that I know of that were my people that are brought in after Walter Jenkins was forced to leave. He didn't leave of his own volition. But I think that you and Jack and Buzz and George Reedy, and I don't believe any of them did better before they came in the White House than they did in the White House. I don't think George had the fringes and the prestige and the car and the 30,000 and anything. I don't think Buzz did. Jack may have. My judgment is the 3 years he preceded that he didn't have 100,000 income like he had there. And but he may have had a little more. But all of them came in and all of them left to get money, to make money, because of their money requirement. And they all left with my consent and with my knowledge and, generally speaking, with my desire. That was not true of all of them, but I thought that they had problems. I thought Buzz stood to be a great problem to us, like Meyer Feldman. He hadn't even paid his income tax. And I thought Jack, on account of Mary Margaret's taste and other things, and the fact that he had been demeaned to the press, and the press looked down on him and so forth, I thought it would be better. So I didn't object. George Reedy, I thought it had to come because of his health, and because of the way the press treated him, and so on and so forth. In your case, you know how I felt. But these particular instances, I think, they've drawn them up to where they have 9 or 10, and I assume they give me credit for Goodwin, who was the Kennedy man, and Bundy, who was the Kennedy man, and Feldman, who was the Kennedy man. And I'm helpless to describe that, but I'm rather glad all of them left. I encouraged Feldman to leave, and Bundy asked me, and I told Bundy just what I told you, that I thought he'd be very helpful. I'd like for him to stay. I'd try to work out anything I could for him, but if he felt that he ought to go on account of financial considerations and this opportunity, that I would not object, and he'd go with my blessing, and he did, and to be honest with you, I was rather glad he did. My days have been much relieved. I mean, I'm not angry with anybody, but I'm not unhappy. But I think they get different impressions, and I think we just have to, the best thing we can say is as little as we can, because you can see that you are the most truthful, the closest, the ablest, the finest man that's ever been there. But still, they claim our press relations are terrible. Now, if that is true, then I can't expect them to be as good when you're gone. So the best thing for us to do is just to keep it as limited as we can and as little. And my thought would be, and I'm not sure that I'm right, I'd like for you to think about it. My thought would be that George could say, I've had several requests for interviews with the president or members of the staff on this question. They've all been declined. The president has refused to have any interviews on it. And any purported statements of his are not only inaccurate but untrue. Now maybe that's a little too strong. You had in mind that you'd go a little stronger than my original, and what did you have?
Newsweek said LBJ's own recollection of, frankly, Mr. President, if you read this whole piece, it is a sympathetic piece to you and to your position, but it's based upon total fabrication. But it says LBJ's own recollections of that fateful day, as he has recounted them to friends, have a touching quality all their own. What raced through his mind when he learned that the president was dead was no personal thrust for power, but rather the memory of the day Harry Truman suddenly inherited the presidency from Franklin Roosevelt more than 18 years ago.
Now, that was not true. I don't remember that at all. I never thought of it.
That.
What raced through my mind was that if they had shot our president driving down there, who would they shoot next? And what was going on in Washington? And when would the missiles be coming? And I thought that it was a conspiracy, and I raised that question. And nearly everybody that was with me raised it. Go ahead.
Well, that's it. So to say that the president's had no interviews doesn't really answer Newsweek, because Newsweek is saying it picked this up from people with...
Well, I think nearly everybody thinks, though, it's FBJ's interview.
Yes. Then it goes on to use these...
It says, Johnson differs on Kennedy friction.
Right.
Johnson's version clashes with book details. I don't know my version. I haven't given it. I guess, though, my friends do that. Then what would you say?
Well, I would say, I'd consider putting this in a telegram to Kay Graham. We said, Newsweek's account of the president's regulations is not consistent with any fact known here.
Now, I wouldn't say that, because they'll find in my statement that I said something or something. We've got to be very careful. They have deliberately built this credibility by picking up the communist line on it. And so that any difference I have with Bobby Bill, I think this has been carefully constructed through the months to prove that I cannot be believed. So I'm disarmed. And I think what we've got to be very careful is that we don't say anything that they could possibly... Do you get my point?
Yes, well, Newsweek's account of the president's regulation is not based on any... something, you know, the president has had no interviews with anyone. The regulations attributed to him in Newsweek do not represent the facts.
Well, I would just say untrue.
All right. Newsweek's account of the president's regulations is untrue.
The president has consistently refused to give any interview on this subject, and the statements attributed to him are false. Not all of them are, but some of them are. The McHugh thing is false. The Honey thing is false. The Truman thing is false.
Heard you. I think I have it here. Let me finish taking a note. Newsweek's account of the president's recollection is untrue. The president has consistently refused to give any interviews on the subject, and statements, leave out the and statements attributed to him in this account are false.
How does that make us go further and debate it further? And by so-called friends?
Well, that
statements attributed to him by so-called friends are false.
Well, you know, it all depends on who they talk to, Mr. President.
So-called friends and alleged enemies?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say, by so-called friends and alleged enemies.
So-called friends.
And alleged enemies are false.
Roger. I think that would do it as far as Newsweek. I think we have to ask ourselves whether or not we then want to maybe not release a telegram, but just have George say, without mentioning a telegram, just say that I talked to the president about that this morning, and he said that that account is just not true, that he has consistently refused to give it interviews, that he finds the statements attributed to him by so-called friends and alleged enemies to be false.
Well, talk to Abe about it, see what he thinks. I don't want to get in the full debate on it. I don't want to blow up their story and sell any more of their articles. And you might say, as was the Post story on the AFL this week.
Right.
I guess that takes on the Post and Newsweek always.
I called Roland Evans this morning, Mr. President, and I've got a recording of it, which I want to send to you, because he has a very, I think, damaging story, but that's the next point. The first point is that I said to him, Roland, don't you ever consider the veracity of your sources, particularly when they are second or third removed from the incident. I said, I read the letter yesterday to the Post on the editorial page, and you were just misled. And he said, well, we do consider our sources. I called him, and he said we consider that to be a true story because the man who gave it to us had breakfast with me the morning that he and Meany were to see the president. And I said, Roland, I'd be very surprised if that were true because usually the president sees Mr. Meany alone. And he said, well, anyway, that was the source of information. He said,
now, wait a minute. Slack was to have a breakfast with... Slack had breakfast with Olin in the morning. He and Meany would see me?
According to Evans, this morning, he said that this fellow was to have breakfast. Well, this fellow had breakfast with Evans the morning that he, his source, and Meany were to see you.
That means Slack or whatever his name was?
Stack.
Now, I've never seen Stack in my life. Never heard of him.
I haven't either.
I never had an appointment with him to see him. I never had a request. At any time. Well, does he think that he's done anything wrong, or does he think we're right?
Evans thinks that, Evans says he's out to he's got a very, very strong bias toward Marvin, Mr. President. For, I think the reason is, which I'll spell out in just a minute, goes back to the copy of the letter that Marvin wrote to Evans, which we sent to Kay Graham. This morning, Evans said, and I've got all this in the conversation. Evans said only twice. Well, first of all, he said that last week George Meany wrote a very bitter letter to Kay Graham about this column. He says only twice in my whole history of writing has anyone taken an issue to the publisher of the paper which carried it about my column. One was the time that Marvin Watson wrote me a letter, marked it personally, and sent it to Kay Graham. And the second was last week when George Meany sent this to Kay Graham. He says it is not just a coincidence in my judgment that that happens. I believe, the president said, that either Watson or the president called Meany in and told Meany to go see Kay Graham.
Well, I'll tell you all, the first thing I'll tell him, both of them are in Texas and have been all during the period.
Right. Well, I will. I said, I do not believe that. It's so because I just don't believe that that's the way it works. And then he said, well, I have reason to believe that it is.
Well, I have no reason why I shouldn't. I certainly feel that that's my obligation to do it if it's untrue. I think that's the question this year. Is it untrue? And if it is untrue, The people that publish it are responsible, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how I can go to whoever does this on Newsweek. We'll say Norma Milligan told George that she'd been working on this. And she's from Oklahoma, and she said that's what she was doing in Washington. She just come down here, so she and Chuck Roberts wrote the story.
Well, and there's no question but that they talked to people who told them these things. I'm sure that Roberts and Milligan didn't make it up. They talked to people who told them that this is what you said, and then they reported that. I do not believe, Mr. President, that a reporter just makes this up. I don't believe Evans and Novak make it up. I think they hear it, as in the case of the Meany story, from a second, third, or even fourth hand source, and then they carry it, and it's their source who is wrong, and in that extent, the author or the columnist or the reporter for not checking it with someone who is in the know. Just like last week, as I mentioned to you, the New York Times and the Washington Post almost carried a story based about a call I was alleged to have made to Arthur Schlesinger when they did not even check with Schlesinger or me. And they had a source in New York. Now, this morning is Evans Novak's column. I'll read it to you in just a minute.